The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
I'm here. I really am. Hold on a second. I'm just... I hit the wrong button. Hi, and welcome to a Tuesday. Tuesday. It's a good day. You know, on Tuesdays, for... I don't know how long. Over 10 years, I believe. No sound. No sound. Is Kip Marlow the only one with no sound? I think Kip Marlow is the only one with no sound. Everyone else should hear us, okay. Yeah, Kip, it's you. Check it on your end. Anyway, I always get nervous when somebody in the chat room says, no sound, but everyone else says, no, you're fine. Okay. Yeah, I think we're good. Anyway, welcome to it. So for like 10 years or more, Gotta Laugh has been here with us on Tuesdays, except for like the last 3 months. And, there was a reason that she wasn't here. And believe it or not, I'm actually trying to find my laughy intro because she hasn't been here in so long that I think I lost it. I know it's here. I know it's here somewhere, but I got to find it. Okay, so I'm going to do this. And because she hasn't been here in a while, I think we're just going to bring her on early because, right? Why wait? Why wait for a good thing? Oh, and I can't bring that up.
The rest of us.
Okay, you got to go away. I have my studio. It's like Laffy's back and all of a sudden the gremlins come out again. All right, let's try. And oh my goodness, everything is just giving me trouble today. All right, let's hope this is the right one. You ready? First let me bring up our show card for those of you, you know, watching the video because we want the full experience here. And then it goes like this.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Woohoo! And she's back. I don't know why that was so difficult for me. It's because you've been gone for too long. So, Gotta Laugh.
Well, I nearly didn't even make it.
I know. But you're here.
I couldn't decide which mask not to wear.
Oh, wait. You couldn't decide what? Which mask not to wear?
Which mask not to wear? Thank you. I'm here all week.
Oh, God. Oh, we had that rehearsed and everything, believe it or not. And I blew it. I blew it. I've got no timing. Anyway, so Laffy's back. So would you tell us what the hell's been going on?
Nothing. Thanks for having me. I'll see you later. I woke up one day and I couldn't bend one of my fingers. It hurt so badly and I couldn't bend most of them the way I wanted to bend them and I couldn't move them. The pain was ridiculous and they were almost robot fingers. I just couldn't move. They hurt so much. It was like having a muscle clench or something. Uh-huh. And so I thought, well, I'll just treat it at home and I'll see how it goes for a while. And I gave it about 4 weeks because I read up on it and it sounded like tendonitis. And I think that's pretty much what it was. But I ended up going to a hand doctor who, by the way, turned out to be a Fox guy.
Yes, a Trumper. Oh, my God.
A Trumper. I was telling you privately, the first thing he said when I was talking about, I can't even remember which shooting it was, oh, the poor cop. His life is ruined or her life is ruined.
Yes, you told me that. Oh my God. I don't know what I would have done in that instance. You know me, because I don't hold back. I would have mouthed off. I would have said, excuse me.
Yeah. But see, he
Poor
has
who?
My hands.
I know.
In his hands.
I know.
I didn't want to go anywhere near that. I was up to my throat in getting those words, you know, out of my mouth. And I thought, nope.
I know.
And my husband was there. And so we were shooting each other looks over our masks. And I said something like, well, did you know that she was a 26-year veteran of the police department?
Oh, this was the Dante.
Yes, Dante. she grabbed for the taser, she was supposed to grab for the taser, right. And she grabbed for the gun, and they know it's on the right side and not the left side, and all, you know, her dominant hand and all this stuff. He goes, no, I didn't know that. Everything I've heard is on the news. I watched Fox.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, well, that explains everything. And I never went back to him again. But I didn't have to, because he said I was progressing quickly, and he was very pleased, and the physical therapy was working. I can bend my hands.
Yay.
But they hurt like hell. I can bend them, though. That's a big deal.
Uh-huh.
Before, it was like, this one I could just go, I couldn't even do that.
Wow.
These I could do, but this one I couldn't do. And it was from, I'm sure, from all the typing and using the mouse and everything. So, yeah, it's been awful. It's been awful. Like, I couldn't even dress myself.
Oh.
My husband, Mr. Lappy, had to, like, you know, pull up things for me. And I still can't do a lot of stuff. And so that's why I'm not typing in the chat room. And no, those are not new glasses. These are really old glasses. But for some reason, my eyes have improved, and it doesn't make any sense. And I had to look for glasses in the house that I used to have. And these work better.
Cool.
So you can see my eyes better
now. Yes, I actually like those glasses on you.
Good.
I think they look good.
Way I can read the screen.
Getting old sucks, doesn't it? It's just like
awful. Don't talk to me about age. It's another thing I'm upset about. But yeah, I mean, so in the 3 months that I've been out of commission, I've been taking big, long breaks from the computer because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do that. In fact, if my physical therapist knew, who I'm going to see tomorrow, if she knew I was doing the show today, she'd scream at me.
Okay, but, you know, you can do the show without really using your hands.
No, it's not true. It's not true. There's scrolling I have to do.
They're scrolling.
And they're setting up the computer, setting up the Zoom. All that stuff takes hands.
Yeah.
You know, every movement hurts. And she's always saying, you know, use a stylus, which I had and I don't have in front of me. Anyway.
You got an iPad thinking that would be easier. And then the iPad... screwed you up.
Disaster. So I set the whole show up on the iPad. I had all my tweets up for today.
Yeah.
And I closed my iPad and I thought, you know, I wonder if iPad saves tabs. So I opened the computer back up and they were all gone. So I had to do it all over again. But anyway, for the 3 months that I was gone, there were two things that I concentrated on that wouldn't leave me alone in my psyche.
Yeah.
One was COVID. I got my shot, and you know,
I
think we talked about that. I think that was after I left.
I
had to leave.
Yep.
And that went well. And then, you know, just watching the whole COVID progression and all the idiots who won't take the shot. Okay, that occupied my time in my head. But the other thing that I can't seem to deal with is the GQP.
The GQP.
The Republican
Nazi
Party.
Party of Q, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't cope with that. And I'm having, like, I thought once Trump was gone, I would be able to cope with everything else that they do. But because they're basically doing Trump and they won't give an inch and they're getting worse and their followers are getting, you know, they're getting higher approval ratings, you know, he is, and they believe that the election wasn't real, and anyway, that's been occupying my thoughts and keeping me up at night. And Johnny OO in chat, I thought the other one was moving to Canada. I still haven't heard back from Canada. It takes 2 years. And we had to cancel our trip from a year ago, April, and Mr. Laffey has to go back to work in July. He's been on a long hiatus, and we were all, you know, he said this would have been the perfect time to go.
Right.
And
Deborah Newell Tornello, who's been, you know, is a friend of the show, and know her, they bought a house in Canada last year because, you know, they cashed out. You know, they got the 8th medical marijuana license to grow in the state of Florida. It cost them a fortune umpteen court appearances and money and lawyers, and they finally got it done and they got the license, and immediately they were flooded with offers to sell. So, you know, they cashed out. So they bought this house up in, I want to say Ontario, but don't quote me on that.
It
looks magnificent. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to get up there in over a year.
Exactly.
And she said they're paying exorbitant taxes and they can't even get there.
I mean, that's awful. We were gonna finally, like, just I can't think of the word. I'm telling you, I'm rusty, everybody. Yes. I'm not. My brain isn't tuned into glibly speaking or speaking at all, because the only person I've really seen is Mr. Laffy, and of course my kid eventually. But my speaking abilities are gone. I'm like, I go Canada. I try sell house. No, we were thinking of getting rid of our mortgage and just buying the house finally, and then using that money to buy a house or to rent while we still own this one. Mm-hmm. And that was our leverage, and we can't do. And right now the market is hot here.
Oh, it's crazy. It's everywhere. Yeah, everywhere.
And we can't even do that because we can't go to Canada and see if we want to buy anything. I mean, the whole thing is so frustrating, but back to fuck the GQP. Because I'm getting frustrated talking about Canada.
No, everything is frustrating. I mean, seeing, you know, here, let me bring you back. So on Friday, many people were here with me. Friday, I got a little frustrated. I was supposed to have on this guy, yes, who we're on this email list together. You're on it, too, yes, so you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly.
And what happened on Friday, I'm thinking, where is he? He stood me up. Well, you know how I have gremlins in the studio from time to time.
Yeah.
Apparently, he said he was there. And I kind of didn't believe him. I thought, there's no way. He probably spaced out. He flaked. He came in after the show ended. And I would have held on to that thought, except today when you and I went to test it, same thing happened. I'm talking to you on direct messaging on Twitter. And I said, okay, the Zoom is open. Come in. You said, I'm there. You weren't there. So conceivably it could have happened. I sent you a new link and it worked. So anyway, we rescheduled. Because it was, you know, it was the gremlins, I guess. So we rescheduled, and actually we taped it today. And this man, who is one of the biggest donors, not necessarily in the Democratic Party, but in the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, he was a big Bernie supporter. We talked a bit about that. He's convinced that there will be a Democratic blowout in 2022 and even more in 2024. He said by 2024, the Republican Party will not even exist. And I so hope he's right. And the thing
I do too, but I know.
Everyone on the list is like, yeah, right. Okay, you know, Guy, thanks for bringing that dose of optimism. But, you know, it doesn't look that easy. I hope he's right. But in the meantime,
I don't think he is. How, like, you and I talked before the show, so, you know, you're hearing me repeat this, but my thoughts are about what he's been saying, because, you know, I'm on the same list.
Yes.
With 74 million people who voted for Trump, minus maybe some now because they're disillusioned, and the GQP and gerrymandering and voter suppression and all these Republican legislators who are passing laws that make them able to completely nullify an election, in so many words, I mean, you know, so to speak, but that's what it amounts to. I don't see how we can win.
I know.
I don't understand how we can win.
I don't either.
Because
even
if we have landslides, those GOP legislatures will say, no, we're not going to count. We're going to put our own people in, and you're out of luck.
Right.
So how do we get past that?
I at least it's giving me something to hold on to, because frankly, the pessimism was taking over again. And then, look, we've talked about this too. Joe Biden's doing a better job than I expected.
Yep.
But now, and I used this analogy last week, the new administration smell is starting to wear off.
Yeah.
And the shit you tracked in on your shoe is starting to stink up the place. And so today, we find out that, that Joe Biden removed student loan forgiveness from his budget proposal. It was bad enough that he was, and I came around on this, it was bad enough that he wasn't going for the full $50,000 of student loan forgiveness. You know, he said, we'll do 10. Now he's not offering anything. He's backtracking. I don't get it either. I do not get it. And so there's a thread on this list. And somebody, you know, said this is going to be a huge gift again to Trump. He's not going to let go of this. a massive gift to Trump. He will hit Biden hard on this with younger voters, pointing out that Biden broke a crucially important promise. And then Guy comes in again. He says 2022 and 2024 will not be close. Even Democrats will not be able to screw up the biggest loss for Republicans in American political history.
How do we win if the legislatures can overturn any election?
Well, that's the rub. So, you know, in Arizona, check this out, where they're doing the fraud it. You know, that ridiculous recount that even Republicans in the state of Arizona are saying, this is enough already. Stop it. This is just wrong. Well, today they took away any power of overseeing the election from the Secretary of State, who happens to be a Democrat, Katie Hobbs. She was on the show a couple of months ago, mostly because David's son, his girlfriend, his living girlfriend, works in Katie Hobbs' office. So that's how I got in and got her on the show. But they basically stripped her of her powers. And the powers return to the next Secretary of State who's elected. But they stripped her because she's a Democrat of her powers and they're Republican. So she has no say now over how the elections are run. That's what the Secretary of State does. And the whole thing, they are taking the reins so that they can fix the election in the way they want to fix it. And that's what scares me.
Exactly. That's the thing that I find. You can't get over that one. How do we? Okay, just so you know, wait, let me just. I want to just copy something here and then read it to you.
Okay.
Hold on.
I know
you're
moving in slow motion. That's okay.
I am. I'm trying to. My mouse isn't cooperating with me right now.
Damn mouse.
There we go. Oops. Whoops. Nope. It's sticking. My mouse is sticking.
No,
so
that's not good.
I can't get this link up, and I'm trying to. Okay. I think I did it.
All right. I just got to share. So okay. While you're doing that, let me share the latest exchanges on this thread. So the guy who posted the original thing about the student loan forgiveness said, Guy, your optimism startles me. Glad you're happy. Worried that your predictions are too cheery. And yes. Guy just responded and he said, don't worry. Be happy.
Yeah. La la la. Manhattan's district, this is Washington Post, okay. Just broke.
Yeah.
Manhattan district attorney has convened the grand jury that is expected to decide whether to indict Trump, other executives at his company, or the business itself.
Ooh.
Should prosecutors present the panel with criminal charges.
Uh-huh.
So they've got the grand jury now.
Good. Wow.
So that is something. That'll make the news, and you'll see that for the next 20 hours.
And and Johnny Ooh in the chat room said, how's he going to use this against President Biden? Trump had 4 years and did nothing for student loan forgiveness. Trump never promised to do anything about student loan forgiveness.
Right.
It wasn't part of their platform. Not that he had a platform. You know, they just said, whatever Trump wants, that's their platform. In fact, the 2020 Republican platform, they didn't even reprint the 2016. They just said it's the same as last time. And as last time, in their platform was getting rid of the incumbent president. They didn't even go back and fix that. This is how inept those people are. And they're dismantling our democracy as we speak.
And that's the thing. They are dismantling it. And this is a big, fat emergency. And for some reason, America doesn't seem to think it is. We hear people on TV increasingly saying, alarm bells, guys, it's an emergency. You're uh-huh. going to end up in an authoritarian government.
Uh-huh.
We've got this, and this happening. I mean, Chris Hayes has been tearing his hair out, to be honest. His eyes are bugging out of his head when he speaks about this. And I'm glad because it gets people's attention when he looks into the camera and leans in and says things loudly so people will listen. Most people don't seem to be as obsessed with this as maybe you and I are.
Right.
And a normal person
well, they're not. But and look, and you know, you and I will watch the news, but I know you don't want to talk about age, but we're old. And
I know.
So did you see the demographics that came out, the people who watch cable news? The median age for a viewer of Fox, I think it was 70 or something. Of MSNBC, it was 68. And of CNN, it was 64. Oh, boy.
And on top of that, speaking of younger people versus older people, younger people are also resisting getting their vaccinations. I just read that in the LA Times.
Which is really sad. And at first, when I heard about the lotteries, like the governor of Ohio did it first, and now three other states, I think, followed suit, where if you get a if you're not vaccinated yet, you get a vaccine, you get put into a lottery to win $1 million. And apparently, it's working.
Is it? Is it
working? It's working. It's working. The number of people going for a vaccine has increased 20% or more in Ohio.
Well,
and so a few other states have started it. I mean, it's just, it's kind of sickening when you think about it. Because say they've got a $5 million pot. They're going to give away $5 million prizes. Just think what they could do with the $5 million in terms of a mobile vaccine unit where they could go to neighborhoods and like a blood mobile, a vaccine mobile, and go around and go to the people who are shut-ins or, you know, a little hesitant or whatever. They could take it on the road instead. Well, I guess it's going to motivate more than five people to get the shot, but it's just, we shouldn't have to pay people to do the right thing and to protect their health and the health of everyone around them.
Well, the federal government is doing the mobile thing, but it reminds me of when I used to come back to my parents from, I come home from school and say, how come Susan's dad and mom give her, like when she gets an A, she gets a dollar for every A she gets on her report card? And they said, because we don't believe in rewarding you for something that you should do and want to do well. It's, we're not going to bribe you to get good grades.
Yeah, I understand
that.
I used to bribe my kid because it was necessary. She was not a naturally good student. So I did give her $10 for an A. And frankly, I didn't have to pay out that much. So, but I also cut a deal with her that she gets 10 for an A, 5 for B, nothing for a C. She gets a D, she owes me a dollar. If she gets an F, she owes me 10.
Oh, now that's interesting.
That was our deal.
That's the reverse.
That's right. Because she did, you know, she was the laziest student. She's smart. She's still smart as a whip. Just she doesn't like being told what to do. So she,
yeah, she's always been, and she's always been resistant. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
We have a call coming in. It's my husband. Hi, David.
Oh, hi, David.
You sound so disappointed that it's me.
That's David.
Yeah, you're in the car now. I think you're on the Bluetooth, so it's hard to hear you.
Okay, I'll scream.
Okay.
The way that we get around what's going on by the Republicans, lawyers like Mark Elias are already filing lawsuits against these bullshit laws that are being passed.
True.
By the time the election rolls around, they will have most, if not all, of this shit straightened out.
I don't know if we can win in the Supreme Court.
That's the problem. The Supreme Court. We don't know. I guess we find out. Well, David,
if this goes back to a discussion you and I have had many times, that are these people more concerned with the way they're perceived within their profession and by history, or are they more concerned with filleting the right wing?
Filleting the right wing.
I disagree. These people have worked all of their lives to get onto the Supreme Court. They know they will be judged by history. They do not want to be the judge who ruled in favor of the Dred Scott decision, whose name to this day lives in infamy as a result of that colossal fuck-up.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, I
hope you're right. All right, David, I'm going to run. We actually have another call. Somebody else wants to say hi to Laffy. Hi, who's
not you, David?
Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Jim. I've called you before. I'm the one that has the 954 number, but I live in Virginia.
Gotcha. Hi, Jim.
And I'm glad to hear you're back and feeling a little bit better, even though your mouth is screaming. But I want to say something about the lottery.
Yeah.
Whatever it's getting them to get vaccinated, then I'm all for it.
Right.
However, I don't think there's a lottery in Virginia, but if there was, I think if people had done the right thing in the first place, like I did 3 months ago, they should get 2 lottery tickets.
I agree.
I feel like I'm being excluded from the lottery because I did the right thing. I'm not asking for someone to pay me, but if they're going to pay everyone else, why don't we have a chance?
I agree.
You know?
I agree. You shouldn't be excluded because you did the right thing and you were early. You should be included. Anybody who's been vaccinated should be part of the pool. I'm with you.
At least give me a scratch off or something. That's all I ask for.
Absolutely. All right, Jim. Good point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye.
You too.
Okay, bye. Yeah, this is fun. You know, it's cool because you're on the Zoom and it's easy to take phone calls with on the Zoom. And so if anybody wants to welcome Laffy back, phone line's open. 954-889-6410. And remember, I just bring in one person at a time because, you know, my studio. Yeah. Anyway.
I missed you guys a lot.
We missed you too. We had some really good people fill in for you while you were out. Juliana Forlano was here one week.
So cool.
David Atkins 1 week.
I love him.
Jason Leopold 1 week.
Oh, well, you know.
I had Desi Doyen. I had Drift Glass. I had Igor Volsky from Guns Down. Juliana Forlano. Harvey J.K. My book is full, but you kept me busy.
Your book run is over.
Yeah. So, but it's good to have you back.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I like being here. Speaking of which, do you want to do tweeties?
Right. Should we let loose the birdies?
The birdies have been cooped up for 3 months. They're shitting all over the cage.
No, it's horrible. We need more newspapers. All right.
Yes, we do.
Let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right. So,
la, la, la,
you know,
la, la.
And we have been seeing you on the Twitters with a lot of typos and not as prolific as you usually are.
I have to use the voice activation a lot because when I don't, my little thingies start really hurting.
Yeah.
And that it gets everything wrong. So I end up having to use my fingers to correct the stupid voice activation. Uh-huh. And if I ever try to say a name into the voice activation, it completely screws that up. So it's been awful. So I take hours off at a time, whereas I used to just sit in front of the computer all day and, you know, randomly just say things. Anyway, I'm trying to get my mouse to unstick.
Damn mouse.
Let me move
mouse.
You out of the way a little bit because it's covering the headline. This is from Ross Story.
Okay.
Oh, my God. This mouse is just sticking. No, I just made you smaller. I didn't want to do that. Okay, Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin. Here, this is from Ross Story. Yeah. Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, West Virginia, and I question Democrat, said this week that he will oppose dramatic reform of the filibuster even if Republican senators use it to block the creation of a January 6th commission. According to Forbes correspondent, Manchin was asked about supporting the filibuster reform in light of reports that Republicans are expected to use the legislative tactic to obstruct January 6th investigation. He said, no. He laughed and said, I can't take the fallout.
Oh, my God.
Isn't he funny?
The fallout? What about the fallout if you don't do the right thing here? Hey, Joe Manchin, I got a song for you.
I just need you to shut the fuck up because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
It just ends. But he needs to shut the fuck up. Although there was a fascinating story today about the Republicans are looking like they're going to filibuster the January 6th commission.
Right, and that's what they were talking to Manchin about. I mean, if he knows they're going to filibuster it, then the logical response would be, well, if they're going to do that, then yes, I think I'll support adjusting the filibuster in some way, shape, or form, and in which he will not do.
No, but he and Kyrsten Sinema apparently have been trying to whip the Republicans to vote for it. They've been trying to rally the Republicans. Oh,
please, yeah,
to vote
she said
for
that.
It.
That I remember there was a tweet that went by and I changed the word. Oh, she said, I don't remember. Yeah, I can't remember. I'm sorry. My mind. Hello.
Yeah.
It was one of those really flyby moments that I did a retort, you know, and I can't remember my retort, so it doesn't make any difference. All right. Jennifer Cohn.
Yes.
She said this. Okay, she's quote tweeting voting news, and it said, new post. Democrats searching for a path forward on stalled voting rights bill. Oh, that's another one that's just killing me.
Kills me,
it's
too.
It's just killing. If there's a God, which I don't believe, but if there is, why do you want to kill me with this? Choose something else. This is ridiculous.
Right.
So Jennifer Cohn says, Senate Dems and House Dems should propose a standalone manual election audit bill. Call the GOP's bluff. Some Republicans may vote yes. Democrats might not even need to eliminate the filibuster for it to pass. Worst case, if Republicans block it, use it to show they care not about election integrity. And then she goes on and says, probably also a requirement that polling places give voters the option to use hand-marked paper ballots.
Yes.
I don't want to muck up a standalone idea, but who can argue with a pen and paper option?
Right.
I mean, you know, really just fight harder, Democrats.
No kidding. And, you know, here's the thing. They can't even, they had a sort of an ally from across the aisle, but a quasi-ally in Liz Cheney. Did you hear the interview she did with Jonathan Swan, where she's like, I can't understand why anyone would be against having to show an ID to vote. It's not the point that you have to show an ID. It's the specific ID that they ask for.
Yes, so for instance, it's got to be free and accessible.
Right.
You make it free and accessible.
But they limit what you can use. So in the state of Texas, if you're a college student, you can't use your university ID, which is ridiculous. But you can use your gun license.
Oh,
how
Nicole,
about that?
If everyone would just bring a gun to the registration or to the ballot box, whatever, they'd get in. Just bring your gun.
Oh, of course. But it's,
I mean, it's so obvious.
It's the voter ID limits. They don't want you to prove you're who you say you are. When you enroll your kid in school, if you bring anything with your picture on it and two bills, utility bills that go addressed to your house, that's enough. And that's what they should be looking for. Sure, ask for ID, but don't limit it to only a government issued driver's license that you can only get from that driver's license bureau that's on the other side of town that you have to take a day off work to go get it when you don't drive. You know, that's the kind of shit we're talking about. And
free
Liz Cheney knows
and
that.
Accessible.
That's right.
If you had them, just like vaccinations, make them free and accessible. Easily accessible,
right.
I should say.
Yes.
Instead of having to get your mother's father-in-law's brother to drive you because you don't own a car and you live in the stick somewhere, make them available at your local post office or at pop-up places.
That's right.
Just like vaccinations.
Right,
anywhere.
But they don't want you to. That's why they have restrictions on what you can use for an ID. That's
right.
The problem. Not the fact that they're asking for an ID. That's fine. Just make it reasonable that you can, you know, give them an ID that you have access to.
You said reasonable when you were talking about Republicans. That's so funny.
I know. Thank you.
You're so funny.
Thank you.
I forgot how funny you were.
I know.
Okay. here's David Frum.
Oh.
Okay. He's responding to Kevin McCarthy's tweet. Marjorie is wrong. Okay. You want to set up Marjorie?
Okay. So
I got a run of Marjories.
Marjorie
here.
Taylor Greene. Ugh. God, the most heinous person in all of Congressdom.
And the new Speaker of the House. You know, that's what they're going for.
Oh, of course. So last Friday, she made this brilliant observation.
Where people were told to wear a gold star, and they were definitely treated like second-class citizens, so much so that they were put in trains and taken to gas chambers in Nazi Germany. And this is exactly the type of abuse that Nancy Pelosi is talking about.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, cause nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
It comes on every time she
this.
Speaks. I see. Your middle fingers are working just fine. So she said that. And I got to tell you, the Democrats all went, what the fuck? And the Republicans, it was like,
tut, tut.
Yeah, nothing. It was just like.
No, it was a.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Please go on.
And then. And
please
then
continue.
So she continues. By the way, I got to tell you, there was another video of her surface this morning of her speaking before she was elected to Congress at a county commission meeting in Georgia, in whatever county she lives in. I'm not going to play the whole thing for you, but here's a taste of it.
We're seeing situations where Christopher Columbus, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, all kinds of statues are being attacked. And it seems to be just an effort to take down history. And whether I see a statue that may be something that I would fully disagree with, like Adolf Hitler, maybe a statue of Satan himself, I would not want to say take it down. But again, it's so that I could tell my children and teach others about who these people are, what they did, and what they may be about.
Because you can't teach your children about the evils of Adolf Hitler and Satan without statues to them.
Okay, I have a Warner Brothers cartoon reaction to that.
Okay.
Squeak 'em.
Okay, so then, but she wasn't done yet. So today,
she
did it again. Oops, she did it again. Let's see. She said she went on a Twitter tear this morning. And here's what she wrote, this one of the many tweets this morning. She wrote, she linked to a story about a Tennessee grocery store that had a logo on their name badge for the employees who had been vaccinated. So she wrote, quote, "Vaccinated employees get a vaccination logo, just like the Nazis forced Jewish people to wear a gold star." It was yellow. I know you think that Jews have the gold. It was yellow. Just, you know, yellow. Anyway, vaccine passports and mask mandates create discrimination against unvaxxed people who trust their immune systems to a virus that is 99% survivable. Fuck you.
Okay, so, yeah.
Just, you know, there are not enough. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
You need more songs,
yeah,
too.
Right.
Okay, so Kevin McCarthy tweeted 7 hours ago.
He responded. He didn't respond on Friday. Until today and this tweet. And so what did he say?
Okay, he said, "Marjorie is wrong. And her intentional decision to compare the horrors of the Holocaust with wearing masks is appalling."
Yes.
Appalling, let me say, appalling. Let me be clear. The House Republican Conference condemns this language. And
right.
then he went on with
and
a
then,
full statement.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So he couldn't leave it at that. He couldn't be the bigger man and just say, she fucked up. She's wrong.
Yeah.
This is horrific. Stop it. No, he has to turn it and dig on the libs, right? Dig on the Democrats.
Yeah. Do you have any quotes?
I got it.
Read those quotes because I have reaction to the quotes.
Okay. So he said, "At a time when the Jewish people face increased violence and threats, anti-Semitism is on the rise in the Democrat Party." First of all, it's Democratic Party, and no, it isn't. "And is completely ignored by Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Americans must stand together to defeat anti-Semitism and any attempt to diminish the history of the Holocaust." Hey, Kevin, where were you on Friday?
Okay, so David Frum says,
yes,
"The statement would have been improved by deleting the lie that Speaker Pelosi has failed to condemn anti-Semitic violence.
Hello?
Her statement was early, strong, and unasterisked, as Leader McCarthy's should have been." That was his reaction.
Uh-huh.
I have more, but I screwed everything up with this mouse again. There we go. Okay.
Okay.
Now I'm back. All right. Hi, chat room. I can see you again. All right. So David Neer.
Yeah.
How do you say his name?
Neer. Yeah. From ABC or Meir. Meir. Is that
N I R?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm telling you. I don't know what's wrong. My mouse usually is very fluid and it's not being fluid. Daily Coast.
Ah, gotcha.
He said on. Okay. Jake Sherman said. He's doing this over Jake. Wait, what's this?
It's okay.
Oh, come on, computer. Oh, please don't do this.
Computers, you can't live with them, can't live without them.
Oh, here.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the thing I tried to get up and almost screwed my computer up with was McCarthy. Okay, David Neer said, on top of everything else wrong here, reporters should refuse to publish statements that slur the Democratic Party as the Democrat Party.
Yes, they should.
They should. I know that, and Joy Reid gets props for this, but if somebody says Democrat on her show, she calls them out. Take it back.
Yep.
There are other hosts that have done that too. I wish more would. I wish every single one would.
Yeah.
Because it's not. Democratic is a noun.
That's right.
So
they are Democrats, but it's the Democratic Party.
Yes. It's not hard, but they know that they're doing that on purpose.
Of course.
Lachlan Marquet says, and he's with Axios, he says, I'm sorry, this is a quote tweet. He quote tweeted over Jeff Miller, LLC founder, Miller Strategies, proud member of the U.S. Holocaust Museum.
Yes.
Memorial Museum.
Yes.
Okay. Miller said, what the fuck is wrong with you? I think you need to pay a visit to the U.S. Holocaust Museum. I'd be happy to arrange. Then maybe going forward, you wouldn't make any more disgusting, ignorant, and offensive tweets. If I'm wrong, and you're not ignorant about the Holocaust, then you are disgusting. And then Lachlan Marquet said, this is actually significant. Miller was a top fundraiser for the Trump campaign.
Wow. Really? Oh,
yeah.
Shit. I didn't know that. Oh, by the way, there's one other thing that Marjorie Taylor Greene did after Kevin McCarthy, criticized her all these days later. She retweeted somebody who called Kevin McCarthy a moron and a feckless C**T.
Oh, I have that.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah, I'll read it to you.
Sorry. Okay, go on.
That was a late addition to my collection. Oh, dear. Okay, so Michael McAuliffe, who's a congressional reporter.
Okay.
He said McCarthy and 198 other Republicans voted to keep Green on her committees. And just under 2 weeks ago, the Republican conference decided Liz Cheney was unacceptable as a leader.
Right.
And then, of course, all this happens. So you put it all, you put this into some perspective. I tend to focus in on what is happening right now, and I forget context.
Right.
I'm reacting to the tweet. I'm not reacting to the rest of what happened this week, which I need to do.
But it's opposite world. Do you remember when I started using that? It was like 10 or 12 years ago. It was during the Bush administration, right? And we've gotten further and further down the rabbit hole. When you think you couldn't be any more upside down and backwards, here we are. It's doublespeak. It's frightening.
It is insanity. Adam Weinstein, or Steen, depending on how you say it.
Yes.
He's with MSNBC and Peacock. He said, Kevin McCarthy rebukes Taylor Greene, blah, blah, blah. He said, anti-Semitism is on the rise in the Democrat Party and is completely ignored by Speaker Nancy Pelosi, unquote. Wow, what a rebuke of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, it's true.
Right?
Everyone's calling it a rebuke and everyone's saying, look what he did. And it's not. It's a half-hearted attempt to do the right thing so that he doesn't look bad and he'll get more donations, but it's not a rebuke.
Right. No.
It's a required response. And then he said, amazing, Adam Weinstein goes on, amazing that McCarthy can't even tell a fascist in his own caucus, quote, please don't trivialize the Holocaust, without casting his +6 whatabout spell.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly what the statement is mind blowing. So he starts off strong. I feel like a Olympic commentator. He comes out of the gate with a good criticism of Marjorie Taylor Greene, saying that the Holocaust was the greatest atrocity committed in history. And then he commits the ultimate, I don't know the sports terms, an unforced error. He goes into and blames Nancy Pelosi for anti-Semitism on the rise in the, quote, Democrat Party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Negates everything.
Everything.
You know what? I lost my, the thing that I said I had.
The thing that
you were going to read.
Oh, that I was going to read?
The C word one.
Yes. Okay.
It went away.
Oh, no.
So you're going to have to.
Now I got
to
see if I can find it.
While I do that, I'll read you my other tweets.
Okay. You do that.
While you do that. Stone Kettle. That. Oh, okay, I've got Stone Kettle.
Yes.
Got it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Stone Kettle, who I love. He does some really good blogging and essays. He said, same people. He's talking about Green and McCarthy. Same people, same exact people, continue to passionately support a disgraced former president whose campaign rallies infamously featured anti-Semitic neo-Nazis and KKK, and whose Proud Boy supporters marched through Charlottesville shouting, Jews will not replace us. I mean, there's more context for you.
Yep.
So go back a year or two or three.
Yep.
And so these people are shaking their little old fists and saying, you can't do that, except that they do that all the time.
Yeah.
They're anti-Semites or they're, you know, they're bigots constantly.
Well, of course.
So, and yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Go ahead and read it because okay. I've got, so, I'm thinking I'm changing the subject on this next
right.
one.
Okay. So let me share this with. So this goes back to Kevin McCarthy, who tweeted out Marjorie is wrong and her intentional decision to compare the horrors. Let me see if I can open this over here. If it's going to open all the way, the horrors of the Holocaust with wearing masks is appalling. And so somebody, a simple patriot on Twitter,
yes.
Responds and says, look, you moron, nobody supported Israel in their recent conflict with Hamas more than MTG. Her analogy may not have been perfect, but you seriously need to get a grip, you feckless. He didn't spell out cunt, but that's the word that he put in there. C asterisk asterisk T. Pelosi is the villain here. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, Marjorie Taylor Greene retweets that along with the message, thank you for seeing the truth and how much I support Israel and stand against the left support for Hamas terrorists. And then she, within probably a minute, deleted it. But yep. Hey, Marge. Tweets are forever. Sorry.
Always and forever.
Especially when you're you, because I promise you, there are people monitoring your account. So when you hit post or send or whatever it is, somebody sees it. We see it. You can't delete it. We are going to find out because you are the feckless cunt. Sorry.
Indeed.
I don't use that word, but there you go.
I don't either, but if, you know,
it fits.
It seems to fit here.
It does.
Yeah.
We've got a caller from the 503 area code. Hi, who's this? Hello, caller. I guess caller left.
Oh, caller 503.
Oh, well. Never mind. Okay.
Never mind. Where is 503?
I think it's Oregon, isn't it? 503 area code? I'll find out.
I don't know. Okay, so I'll read you a thread from Andrew Prokop. He does
Portland. I was right. Okay. Yes, I know.
Oh, very good. He's really good. He does a lot of legal stuff and legal, but he works for Vox, I think. I'm covering up where he works for, but that's okay.
Yeah.
The way you get bipartisanship on a bipartisan commission is often a sort of gentleman's agreement not to make either party look too bad, mutually assured destruction. That's ill-suited for 1-6 because only one party looks bad on that issue. Keep going. Recall that it was, and I disagree with this word moderate, but he said, recall that it was moderate House Republicans who introduced a bill to create a 1-6 commission just days after the Capitol was stormed. The idea was explicitly that the country needed something like a 9/11 commission to provide a full accounting of what happened. And as somebody pointed out on one of the shows I watched, it's a cut and paste from the 9/11 commission, just so everybody knows. And then he goes, could such a commission do? One, it could uncover new facts, but it wouldn't have special powers to do so. Any ordinary congressional committee has the same powers, and a commission half controlled by McConnell-McCarthy appointees likely wouldn't be aggressive in using those powers. And two, a commission could try to shape a shared national narrative of what happened. This is more in the realm of messaging and communication. But again, if McConnell-McCarthy appointees aren't on board with this mission, it won't happen. Gridlock will ensue instead. And three, it could politically damage the GOP.
Aww.
This is, of course, what Republicans are really afraid of here and why they're set on blocking it. The issue divides the GOP, but it's also one where the GOP is out of step with public opinion. So any focus on it, they believe, hurts them.
Mm. Okay.
That was a good analysis.
Yeah, very good. By the way, our caller from Portland called back again. Here's the thing you got to understand. we work without a producer. So when you call in, if we're in the middle of a conversation, you have to wait a moment. But our 503 caller got impatient and hung up again. So, but that's the way it works when you call into the show. You'll be sort of on hold. You can hear what's going on until we're ready to talk to you. So, Portland, if you want to call back again, that's how it works. Okay.
Yeah, it's hard when you when you're not used to this type of format where you're not put on hold by a producer.
I know.
With music playing in the background and coming on every so often saying,
I used to love when I'd fill in for Randy Rhoads, right? And her show was out of the WJNO studios, but she was not on the air at WJNO. She was on the other station, you know, because the right wingers were all on WJNO. So she was on the lower powered station. But when someone would call in, because we were in their studios, when you put them on hold, they would hear the programming from WJNO. So we'd have people on hold. They're like, I had to listen to Rush Limbaugh for the last hour. It's like, oh, God.
How awful.
Can you imagine?
That's horrible.
Yeah,
oh, God.
I know. Terrible.
Well, I got cut off. This is an old story, and you've heard me say it, but I got cut off on Randy's show.
Oh, I remember. With
remember
me.
That?
Yes, when you said Cluster Fox.
Cluster Fox.
Well, that was Sean. Sean, you know, the producer who hit the dump button because he thought you're going to say clusterfuck on the air. I think you know better than that.
Yeah. And he apologized
Yeah. So funny. But he anyway, dumped you.
He dumped me, and I'm like talking, and all of a sudden I realize I'm talking to dead air. And I thought, well, maybe they'll call me back. Maybe it was something, you know, technical. But he immediately started, you know, like, I think texting me or something saying, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Anyway, Norm Ornstein.
Yes, who's been on the show.
My last tweet.
Yes, okay.
So you'll have to like vamp now.
That's okay. I got stuff
you're very good at.
No, not at all.
He said, Senate Republicans on the Judiciary Committee all oppose Kristen Clark as assistant AG for civil rights. She is extraordinarily qualified in every respect. Mm-hmm. Rank racism. So please do not, this, I love the sentence, please do not characterize Ben Sasse or any of the others as moderate or reasonable.
Exactly. By the way, she was confirmed today. Finally, yes, 51 to 48. So,
and Susan Collins voted
for
her.
Oh, it's Susan Collins. I was wondering who the Republican was who voted for. Good for her. Well, you know, she owes.
Okay, now see, my mouse did it again. Now, for some reason, I went over to the chat page where I am now. And it turned you into this page into a separate window, even though I just clicked on the the stupid thing. All I did was click on the tab, and it brought me to a whole different place.
Shit happens.
That okay.
All right. So let me address something. You weren't here yesterday, but yesterday, you know, I should just do what Randy Rhoads does and Tom Hartman does. They do not speak about Israel, Palestine, Gaza, any of it. I actually heard somebody call into Randy's show the other day and say, I want to ask you about what's going on with the airstrikes. And she's like, oh, no. We do not go there. We don't talk about that. Because she knows no matter what you say, you're going to offend somebody. You're going to piss somebody off. It is a tough subject. And years ago, Tom Hartman even warned me that I was being represented sort of by a publisher of a talk radio magazine. And he called me or sent me an email or something. He's like, you might want to, you know, if Michael knew, you know, if he hears you talk about that, he will disown you, basically. Basically saying, don't go there because you're going to offend the wrong people. Well, you know what? Fuck that. I've never, never not said what I feel, even though sometimes it doesn't reflect, you know, people may take it the wrong way or some people are going to disagree with me. So yesterday I had this guy, Norman Finkelstein, on. Now he is an author. He's I don't think he's a professor. He is a professor. His area of expertise is Gaza and the Palestinians and Israel. His parents were in the Holocaust. They were in concentration camps, but now I am watching my words because I don't want to say something offensive, but he sounds like he is so over the top critical of Israel. And Israel deserves criticism, don't get me wrong. He was just so one-sided in that the way he put it was the Palestinians, Hamas, all of them, they're blameless, they're innocent, and those evil Israelis are killing them. I agree. The Israelis are evil. Benjamin Netanyahu is evil. He is bombing people, keeping them in an open-air prison in Gaza. But just know, Hamas is firing rockets into Israel. I understand what prompted it was the Israelis trying to evict the Palestinians from this East Jerusalem neighborhood, which is wrong. I don't know that the answer to that is lobbing bombs indiscriminately into a heavily populated area. It works both ways. They're both wrong. I want the hate to stop. But I felt such animosity from Norm for the Israelis, for the Jews. And I got to one other thing. I'm not religious, but nor are you, right? But we have the heritage, the Jewish heritage, that means something. And I know what our forebears went through. And not just in the Holocaust, but for centuries, for thousands of years, right? And so the thing about Israel is the Jews had no place to go. And so now they have a homeland. When Charlottesville happened and they were marching with their torches saying, Jews will not replace us, it was nice to know that should Donald Trump have somehow gotten himself a second term and those people took over, that we had a place to go. I've never been to Israel. I don't particularly want to go. But to know that there's a place where I can go and I won't be persecuted because I'm Jewish was somewhat of a comfort. Maybe it shouldn't have been. I don't know. But there is no right and no there is no right and a lot of wrong in what's going on. And
well,
I don't know the
it's
answer.
It's so past.
Horrible.
You know, but it's so convoluted now. Everything is so, and Trump sure didn't help.
Right. Yeah. No,
and of course,
no, he made it worse.
Was a
horrible.
Disaster.
They're all horrible. There's evil. There's plenty of evil to go around. And frankly, not a whole lot of good that I'm seeing. Back in the day, there was a peace movement in Israel called Gush Shalom and a guy named Uri Avnery who met with Arafat back when the PLO was, you know, the head of the Palestinians. And he did everything he could to foster peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians and to create a two-state solution. And Uri Avnery was 90-something years old, and I would call him in Israel and have him on the show, again, not because I'm a religious person, because I want to find a way to peace over there.
Right.
I want the killing to stop. And what I'm seeing now is a lot of hatred towards Jews because of what the Israelis are doing. Just know, just because you're a Jew does not make you Israeli. Just because you're Jewish does not make you a Zionist. And just because you're Jewish does not mean you support what they're doing.
Right.
But I do understand their right to exist. Those people, those Israelis, the Jews over there, can't go to any other country in the region and go to Jordan or Syria or you name it and say, we want to come live here. That's not going to happen. This is the one place they can go to live. And the vilification of Jews is in full swing. And when I brought up the fact that the number of anti-Semitic attacks here in this country is on the rise, he disagreed with me. He said that's not true.
Well, how could he disagree? It's statistically
it's
true.
Statistically true. And that's I almost hung up on him. And I didn't cut him off. But I was seething. Sorry. And moments after we got off the air, I got an alert, a news alert from the Washington Post saying anti-Semitic attacks in the U.S. increased 20-fold in the last month or something. You know, I just have to put it out there. They're all wrong. The Israelis are wrong and the Palestinians are wrong. The killing has got to stop. And that's what I finally said to him. So what do? We just keep killing each other until the last man is standing? I got really frustrated. So I want you to know that I am trying to find another person who's not so one-sided. I want somebody who can speak to both sides of the story. I was shaking when the show ended yesterday.
I don't blame you.
So I just had to get that off my chest. I know a lot of people in the chat room disagreed with me, but whatever. It is what it is.
Tis what tis. Well, I agree. I think, you know, I hate to be a both sides on this one because I don't like that.
I know.
One.
I know.
I don't like that, that expression anymore.
Yep.
But yeah, both sides.
Both sides.
Both sides are at fault. Both sides have merit.
Yep.
And it's painful as hell to watch.
Wait. So Hector said, but they don't believe the Palestinians have the right to exist. I don't know that that's true, but the Palestinians don't believe the Jews have a right to exist. So does that make one side wrong, right, and the other side wrong? They're both wrong. We're humans. How about we're all part of the human race? What race are you? Human.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Tuesday, May 25th marks 1 year since the death of George Floyd. The murder of an unarmed black man by a Minneapolis police officer, captured on video by a teenager, inflamed the masses and set off months of protests. While marches and other commemorations are planned in Minneapolis and around the world, the Floyd family begins the day visiting Congress before heading over to the White House at President Biden's invitation. The president's goal was for the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act of 2021 to be ready for his signature by now. But they're not quite there yet. All parties involved agree that they'd rather get it right than fast. The big sticking point remains qualified immunity for police, which effectively protects them from any personal liability unless they've been determined to have violated what the court defines as an individual's, quote, clearly established statutory or constitutional rights. On Monday, Karen Bass, the lead House negotiator, and the two lead Senate negotiators, Democrat Cory Booker and Republican Tim Scott, released a statement saying that they're making progress toward a compromise and remain optimistic about the prospects of achieving that goal. Senate Republicans meeting Tuesday to decide whether to counter the White House's latest proposal to lower the total cost to $1.7 trillion, down from $2.4 trillion. But even if they do, the two sides are still about $1.5 trillion apart in new spending after a month of talks and are nowhere near deciding how to pay for it. The Democrats are now considering passing it through reconciliation, where they'd need only 50 votes and no Republican support. And then there's also the matter of a January 6th commission, which should be a no-brainer. But it appears that Mitch McConnell will lead the Republicans in the first filibuster fight of the year over creating a bipartisan commission to probe the attack on the Capitol. Amazing. Well, here we go again. Hurricane season kicks off a week from today, with the number and scope of the storm seemingly increasing year after year. President Biden announced Monday that he would double government spending to help communities prepare for the storms and other extreme weather events. The European Union on Monday barred European airlines from flying over Belarus and initiated the process of banning Belarusian planes from European airspace. The EU, with the support of President Biden, also demanded that Belarus release dissident journalist Roman Protasevich, who was detained after Belarus forced down the Ryanair flight he was taking from Greece to Lithuania. EU leaders refer to the incident as a state hijacking and are expressing outrage. Even before this hijacking, the EU had imposed sanctions on the president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, along with some of his associates. The COVID conundrum continues. Scientists investigating the origin of COVID-19 have zeroed in on previously overlooked data and are now taking another look at the idea that it came from the lab at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, once dismissed as a conspiracy theory. Meanwhile, young people in the United States, that's 24 and under, are now lagging in vaccinations. U.S. health officials are warning that while young people may be at lower risk of dying from COVID-19, they could still face long-term effects. And on Tuesday morning, Moderna announced that its studies show that its COVID-19 vaccine is 100% effective at stopping infection in kids aged 12 to 17. Despite the progress we're making here, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control warned that because of the virus situation in Japan, even fully vaccinated people should avoid all travel to the country.
The Japanese government was quick to point out that the warning is not related to the participation of the U.S. Olympics team.
Really? All right.
Well, now that Donald Trump is out of office and the adults are back in charge, we've been waiting for the long-promised transparency. But the Justice Department on Monday released part of a memo written in 2019 to justify not charging the then-president with obstructing justice in connection with Robert Mueller's investigation. U.S. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson earlier this month had issued an opinion harshly criticizing former Attorney General Bill Barr, saying she read the document and found that Barr had been disingenuous when he cited the memo as critical in his determination that Trump had broken no laws. So Jackson ordered the document's release. But Justice Department lawyers asked the judge to keep the rest of the document secret pending an appeal of her ruling, acknowledging that, quote, its briefs could have been clearer, and said the DOJ, quote, deeply regrets the confusion that caused. Well, I'm confused about why the Biden Justice Department would work so hard to keep Trump's Justice Department secrets secret. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.
The Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. Live nationwide and streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Call in with your thoughts at 888-6-LESLIE. What?
Here to set you free, happy Tuesday. I'm seeing that the sun is shining many places, and I've just got to say, I'm so glad, even though I'm from the East Coast, the Northeast, I'm from Boston, Massachusetts originally, I don't have to live with the cicadas, okay? I see things online. They have them here in Palm Springs, and sometimes when I go to Palm Springs, you can hear them in the trees, but you don't see them. And they don't have that number that they've come out with after 17 years. Just think, it's 17 more, you get it again. But anyway, speaking of again, we're glad to have back again Scott Paul. Scott is a personal friend. He's also a great friend of the program. He is also doing a great job for people out there who are in the world of manufacturing, who are part of our middle class, our working class, as president of the Alliance of American Manufacturing, the AAM. Now, the AAM is a partnership established by some of America's leading manufacturers and the United Steelworkers Union. Now, for over 10 years, Scott and the AAM have worked to make American manufacturing a top-of-mind issue for voters and our national leaders. They've done it through effective advocacy, innovative research, and a savvy PR strategy. More than a pleasure to have back on the show on this Tuesday, Scott Paul, who I know has some cicadas around him. Scott, welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Leslie. I was just going to say, you probably can't hear them, but I sure can in the background. And I just stepped outside before coming on the show. I'd want to land it right. It just landed on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Really? I just saw, okay, a couple of things. One, I just saw this thing, a comic that I posted on Facebook that said, I've been looking for books on teenagers and I've looked in every section. Where can I find them? And the book lady said, try the horror department. Horror section. But that to me would be horror. I have two teenagers. That's horror, a different type of horror. But that to me would be horror. And not like, oh, the horror. I mean, no, horror, you know? Oh God. Yeah. Oh, bugs.
You know, I have a more benign view. I mean, I think it's pretty fascinating. I think back to like 17 years ago in the context and how much has changed. You know, I have kids now and I'm married and another job and all of that. And I know they're temporary, but it is kind of a reminder of how quirky, and transient, that nature is. Yeah. Although I will not miss the carcasses and the flybys and the
yeah, I saw a lady online that she had all over her because she was standing under a tree or something. Yeah. And then I saw something today that said
Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. police would like you to stop calling 911 about the cicadas. There's nothing we can do about them. And of course, somebody posted that it was all the Democrats' fault. You know, yeah, Joe, but, you know, I mean, it's like, no, this is Mother Nature, you know. This is this is science. But I have to say, I wouldn't mind some days with two teenagers going below ground for 17 years and coming back and finding out how it all worked out. But that's not what we're here to talk about. I do want to mention the website for American Manufacturing, the AAM. It's AmericanManufacturing.org. On Twitter, follow them at Keep It Made in USA. And Scott, follow him at Scott Paul, AAM. That's S-C-O-T-T-P-A-U-L. I say that because some people spell Scott with one T and Paul with an E or however you spell it. Let's talk. We have so much to talk about. I'm very excited to talk about that. Peloton, they've had a lot of press, good press for what they do. A lot of people working out. They've had some bad press, as we know. You know, somebody, I thought the commercial was nice. The husband got his wife a Peloton and people are like, yeah, but look how like hot and fit she is. I'm like, yeah, you know. And then, of course, we do know that recently they had a recall of some because of an accident. But overall, they're a very good company, and they've announced a $400 million investment in Made in America manufacturing. And this is awesome because it doesn't just go in line with what you have been preaching for years, but it also goes in line with what the president is asking Americans to do and asking manufacturing to do and corporations to do. Make it in America and buy American, made in America. So talk to us about this. The Peloton announcement yesterday.
Yeah. And first, I'll just show everybody, I do not own a Peloton. Actually, the fact that they're going to make them in America makes me more inclined to buy one once those are rolling off the assembly line. But I know a lot of people do. And it exploded in popularity during the pandemic as well. And getting a Peloton was harder than getting a reservation, pre-pandemic at a fancy restaurant. It's just absolutely crazy. And I'll say this, you know, I listen to sometimes a podcast called How I Built This, because I'm interested to see how entrepreneurs scale up their companies. And there was an interview Guy Raz did with the founder of Peloton. And one of the most disappointing things about it, because it was so innovative, you know, the connectivity and having those studios and having the video and having the feedback and all of that. What a cool thing. But they talked about supply chain, and he immediately just looked to Asia, looked to China, didn't even consider kind of an American-made option. That's because that's what all the supply chain managers and the MBAs said. This is what you got to do. You got to source it from overseas. And he didn't like the tariffs on Chinese products or anything like that. And so this is really good. I mean, I think it was a little more than a year ago, they bought Precor, which was another equipment manufacturer that does have U.S. operations. And so this,
and that's what I have. I do have a Precor.
Yeah, exactly. And so this and that. And so they began having kind of a U.S. footprint for manufacturing. And this is a game changer. This takes it to a whole new level, and a product that, was obviously there was a cost differential and they could make it much more profitably in China. That equation has obviously changed. And it could have changed partly because of the tariffs, partly because of the political instability, partly because of the fact that they can get this to market so much faster than putting on a boat, having it across the Pacific Ocean, waiting at the port of Long Beach or LA or whatever to unload for a couple of weeks, where they can churn these things out and get them to market very, very fast. And they're going to believe in American manufacturing. And not only that, they're going to do it in Ohio, in Toledo, you know, which had lost to, it used to be the glass capital of the world, and they make Jeeps there still, but they lost virtually all the glass. And so this is really cool. I think it's just a great story, and it's obviously a product that people identify with, and it's an incredibly successful, popular, you point out controversial, which is true, but really popular company. And so I think this shows the possibilities, the potential for American manufacturing, for American workers, and sends a signal to other companies that it's time to bring some of this home. We can do it in the United States of America. You have to have that intent, but once you do, you can find a way to do it profitably in a way that's going to help your company grow as well.
Well, you know, it's like the dance floor, right? You know, people want to dance, but it always takes that first couple to go out and hit the dance floor. And what happens? Then other people follow, right? You know, it's so true. Two things come to mind when I heard about this, Scott. One was jobs, right? You mentioned Toledo, Ohio. You mentioned this plant. That's where they're going to build their new factory. They're going to employ over 2,000 people. So I'm thinking, awesome, jobs. And especially after the year and a half, and it could be two when we, you know, move forward, that we have been through with this pandemic. The second thing I think of is better quality.
Yeah.
Because you have regulations in the United States, you have better workers with union workers making these products instead of the people in China who make those, as I've said before, those T-shirts, you know, $3 for $5 that fall apart after one wash. And I know Peloton is not a T-shirt. Peloton. I almost said Precor is not a T-shirt. But at the same time, I mean, we've seen whether it's toys that have to be recalled because of lead content, you know, or things that aren't safe. So, I just was overjoyed when I heard about this because one, jobs, and two, safety, better quality equipment. And then, of course, third, you know, we have yet another product that we can buy that's made in our country.
Yeah. It's great on all of those levels. And the fact that here's I guess the issue. And I don't know how much of the electronics are going to be manufactured in the United States. I think that's an open question. But I think that most people would have said, and certainly Wall Street analysts and MBAs, was that there's no way that you can do this and make it work. When you have competition, when you have all that low wage possibility, light regulation in China, how are you possibly going to make this work in the United States? And the answer is, you know, Peloton is a class leader in all of this, a leader.